Finishing up our little three-part series called Grow Again. Turn to the person next to you and say, grow again. Come on, you can do better than that. Say, grow again. And this kind of all started in me, and if you weren't here the last couple weeks, let me just tell my story over and over again until you're tired of hearing it. But in November, we had done kind of like a fall setup out in front of, you know, both the campuses, and the team got hay bales, and they decorated out, and you could take selfies and stuff, you know, family photos, and they decorated with all this stuff. And then when it was all over, the hay bales ended up at my house on a trailer. And I kept looking out there in my yard, like, why do we have these hay bales? And my wife, being a horsewoman, a farm girl, if you will, I was like, hey, why are those hay bales here? The neighbors have sheep. Go give the hay to the sheep. And she's like, those hay bales are worthless. That's trash grass. That it has no, you know, nutritional value to it. Really, you just use it to throw down on the ground so the horses in their stables or something like that. And I was like, well, what are we going to do with them? And she's like, oh, you know, I've got some plans. And I think she thought we were going to do hay bale rides, you know, around our yard. Anyway, and so they sat there and they sat there. And, of course, you know, winter hit and things were dying and the leaves were all falling and all my grass died. And I looked out there and all of a sudden I started noticing that green life was coming up out of this dead grass. And as I'm looking at it, it starts growing more and more and more. And I hear the Lord say, what is dead can live again. What is dead in all of us can live again. And I was like, Lord, I will tell your people. So I have a word from you from the Lord. Whatever's been dead inside of you can live again. God can bring to life those areas where you've lost hope, trust, faith. He can bring it alive again. But the critical component, and this is truly a real understanding, I hope this helps your theology, your doctrine. The true component is not about you doing better so that you can have better. It's about creating an environment so he can actually bring life into it. And so really, the reason why this grass grew in the midst of this dead hay is not because the hay was so good or the nutrients were so good or the hay did anything in and of itself to create life. What happened was it was in an environment where life could come forward. The water was just right. It started, you know, we had a real light winter early on in December. So it was raining and misting. I'd look out there and there'd be mist all over these hay bales. And then the sun was coming out. And it was really, really just those nutrients were starting to come alive and germinate on the inside of it. And it was just the right space at the right time. It was the right biosphere for growth. And then it just started growing and growing and growing. I'm looking out and everything's dead in my yard. And all of a sudden, as I scan out across my yard, beep, there's this green grass. All because it was in the right environment for something supernatural to happen in it. So what we've been challenging you on is three areas of our life that we can create the right environment and then God can grow things that were dead, can come back to life inside of us. We talked first off, the first week about our spirit man. That some of you haven't prayed for someone and seen a miracle ever in your life because that's a dead space inside of you. And how to create an environment for your spirit man to just live again and be alive. And then last week we talked about your soul, which really makes up your mind, will, and emotions, your emotions and your thought life, and how some of that's just been so dormant and dead and not healthy at all. And we really taught you how to create an environment so life can come up in that, so you don't have to live in stress, so you don't have to be overtaken by fear, so you don't have to live in this place where you're emotionally damaged because of what happened with your second marriage, and you're constantly replaying that over and over again. We taught you that if you create the environment and you get all the right biosphere pieces in place, God will bring life inside of that which is dead. And so today, as we move into the last one, we started with spirit, soul, and then today is body. Everybody say body. Or your physical. And so as we jump in today, our key scripture for today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there with me. In verse 19, and it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So God doesn't live in buildings. He lives inside of you and me. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, look at the word, honor God with your bodies. Everybody say that with me. Honor God with your bodies. And so in this passage, it's really talking about what we shouldn't be involving ourselves in, especially in prostitution, perversion, things like that. But the general rule about our bodies is that it's the temple, the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us as believers. And he literally warns us and challenges us, honor God with your bodies. Take care of your body. How do you honor something? Honor, how, you treat it as precious, as valuable. And I'll tell you something, being a good Cajun boy, I have not always honored the Lord with my body. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, even Pastor Jonathan and I prepping for this message, he's a good Texas boy. He's never eaten vegetables. His parents did not make him eat vegetables. He is a carnivore to the hilt, and he's Hispanic. So, I mean, they put down some enchiladas. I mean, I'm just telling you like that. And as a Cajun boy, I will suck the juice out of a crawfish and then make his eyes do like that. I am. And so I just want to own the moment that I'm probably preaching to me more than I'm preaching to you today, all right? So we can all just be on the same level. Honor the Lord with your bodies. I don't know if you know this, but Americans, 60% of the American diet is made up of processed foods. And if you know about processed foods, they have zero nutritional value. So most of what we eat does not provide the nutrition that our body needs. So this is why we keep eating and eating, eating, because our body is trying to get nutrition out of cardboard, out of dirt, out of nothing. And this is why America is so obese as a nation, is because our food has got so much processed stuff in it that the nutrition is not there. You don't have this vitamin C. You don't have the vitamin B. You don't have it. And this is why there's been such a, and I appreciate Barack Obama really, you know, making it a focal point during his presidency that we're going to get healthier as Americans. And the reason that is because all of this processed food has really led us to have, I don't know if you know this, but 45% of U.S. deaths from heart disease, stroke, and diabetes are completely linked to diet. Most of the disease that we're dealing with is because of what we intake. And there, so that means, that's a good thing, right? Because not to shame us, but like, there's a solution. There's an opportunity for that which is dead to grow. We just got to get it in. We just got to create the biosphere. We got to get the right environment so that which is not good can actually live in goodness and health. We did some research on this group called the Seventh-day Adventists. Have you ever heard of those guys? Seventh-day Adventists. They're a denomination. They're Christians for the most part. They've got some real strong, hardcore pieces and belief. But one of the things that they're very known for, the Seventh-day Adventists, is they only have church on Saturday. They believe that's the pure Sabbath. But the other thing they're known for as Seventh-day Adventists is they kind of go back to some of the Levitical dietary laws that the Lord had given the children of Israel back in ancient times. And so they really adhere to that. They don't engage with tobacco, alcohol. They don't eat anything with sugar in it, typically. They're really hardcore about predominantly water only. They did a six-year research of the Seventh-day Adventists in this particular congregation in California. And they found that Seventh-day Adventists as a whole outlive the average American by 10 years. 10 years. They had an extra 10 years to their life. Now, you got to understand, I grew up in Cajunville. I grew up in Louisiana, and I've had more preachers say, I tell you, all these people, they're talking about you need to eat healthy and all that. Listen, they look so miserable, and I have decided, why am I going to eat all that healthy stuff just so I can add a couple of years to my life? I would rather die early but have enjoyed my life the whole time. That's where I grew up in. And I'm like, amen, preacher. Pass the chocolate, you know what I mean? So let's go with some more shrimp Creole. And so, but the truth of the matter is that we all need to learn how to honor the Lord with our body, how to take care of this temple. Turn to the person next to you and say, take care of that temple. And over a 60-year period of this one particular Seventh-day Adventist congregation that they followed, they found out after just watching them and researching them for 60 years, that their lung cancer rate amongst them was 79% lower than the average American. That their colon cancer was 38% lower than the average American. The stats just went through the roof. And it had a lot to do with their diet. Now, listen, I stand before you today and I recognize that, man, I am preaching to Pastor Adam McCain today. Well, I want health in me. I need turn some things around. But you don't know, but there was a time in my life where I was extremely taking care of the temple. And in fact, I got a couple pictures. If you'll show those guys just a couple pictures of back in the day when I was really healthy. You got those? There you go. So that's me. That's me. And how about that other one? This is me just in my daily workout routine there. There you go. Just want to point that out. I want to thank Imagine AI. Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for your AI technology that helped me have a dream. Give me a vision. We actually have a case study for what we'll be talking about today in the book of Daniel. If you'll go ahead and open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1, and we're just going to kind of look at the case study. King Nebuchadnezzar, who is the ruler at this time in the book of Daniel, 4,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago, he's the king of Babylon. And Babylon, if you know your world history and the ancient history, Babylon became a major world power throughout that Middle Eastern area in those days, and they literally conquered just about everybody. And so as they came into the region of the Israelites, the Israelis, they conquered them as well. And their plan was, it was a brilliant plan on how to be able to rule large different cultures and groupings of people. And what King Nebuchadnezzar did was he took the brightest and the smartest of their young people, and he indoctrinated them. And he made them governors and leaders over their own people, but after he had indoctrinated them and trained them in the ways of Babylon, so they literally would rule over their clan, their group, their nation under the Babylonians, because he would take these young leaders, indoctrinate them, train them, and then have them as you ruled over the people group that you come from. That's how he divided up his kingdom and how he was able to rule for that length of time. And we look in Daniel chapter 1, let's look in verse 8. What happened was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or we'll hear their other names as they're laid out here, they get chosen to be a part of those who were taken from Israel to go and be indoctrinated and trained in the king's palace. And so as a result, the king had set for them all of the royalties of the palace, all these young men that were being trained from their different cultures. He wanted to wine and dine them and woo them, and so that they would always want to have to live in the life of luxury from the kingdom. And verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1 says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officer for permission not to defile himself this way." Now, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Verse 11, we'll drop down to verse 11. It says, "And Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink.'" Because the guy in charge was like, "Dude, if I don't feed you the good king food, and you come back looking scrawny, and you don't have good, complexion, stuff like that, they'll get rid of me. So I'm not willing to risk that." And Daniel convinced him, and the Lord was with him, convincing, "Would you just let us eat vegetables and only drink water? Just do a test. Do a 10-day test. Just do a 10-day test." And it says, "Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink." Verse 13, "Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." In verse 14, so he agreed to this test. He agreed, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier. Come on, somebody. They were better nourished than all the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Drop down to verse 18 of the same chapter, Daniel 1. It says, "At the end of the time the king had set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service, and in every matter," what matters? Every matter. "In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters and the whole kingdom, the wisest, most sought after people that were the great ones in the kingdom. He found them 10 times wiser." I don't know about you, but I'd like to be 10 times wiser. I don't know about you. I'd like to be sitting around the office and everybody going, "He's 10 times wiser." ask him. And it was directly connected, come on somebody, to the environment that Daniel created for his own physical health, for his own well-being. He created an environment that God could bring about something supernatural inside of him by way of changing his dietary eating and not eating what everybody else was eating. It's unbelievable. He changed his dietary moment there in that way. And the Bible says the Lord honored that and blessed him. See, Daniel had an understanding. Daniel recognized that what he was eating would have a direct effect to what he was going to become. And so he decided then and there, he and the other guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, they decided, let us only eat vegetables and water, because this thing that we're about to go through, this gauntlet of being tested, we want to be at our best. We see a great case study here that just by adjusting their diet, the Lord was able to do something supernatural inside of them, and they came across and came around. They looked better in their skin, their bodies were stronger, and they were mentally stronger than all the other folks and wiser than everybody else. I just need you to understand something, that there is a direct connection to you being sick, tired, frustrated, weak. And again, if you feel any of those in your life, this message is for you and me. If you're tired all the time, if you don't feel like you have strength like you should have, if you're struggling in the area of health, you need a miracle in some health areas of your life, this message is for you and me. Are you there? Say yes. Years ago, when I was youth pastor in Louisiana, one of our associate pastors had been an NFL Hall of Famer, and his kids were super athletes. And Ken Ellis is his name, I believe. I forget who he played for. Green Bay, I think. And so this is back in the day. And so his daughter, Jamia, was in, when I was junior high pastor, Jamia was in my junior high ministry. And so after service, we did junior high a lot like Hill City does. We do it in the morning services. Our high school ministry would be on Wednesday nights, just like Hill City does. And so so Sunday mornings, I would be across the property in another big building with all the junior high kids. I had about 150 junior high kids, and the parents would just drop them off and like rush into service like, take them, please, before I kill them. And so, you know, Jamie and I would minister to them. It was so fun. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, our pastor would go over time, and so we'd be done, and we've got 150 junior high kids. And so I'd just get out in the parking lot, and I'd race them. I'd arm wrestle them, you know. I'd wrestle with them. And I could outrun every one of those kids except for Jamia. Jamia was 12 years old, and she was going to compete the next year in the Junior Olympics. And she was one of the fastest little girls I had ever been around. And every Sunday, I would get out there and try to beat her. And every Sunday, she would whoop me. And here I am in my 20s. I'm at the peak of health. I'm about 4% body fat. I play basketball every day for a couple hours in the gym, hooping. And I cannot outrun this little 12-year-old. And I'll never forget one time asking her, I get it. You got special genes from your dad and mom and all. And, you know, I'm just a little fat white kid. I get it. All right. So, but why? And I'll never forget talking to her dad about it. And he goes, well, you know, she's never had a McDonald's cheeseburger. She's never had McDonald's french fries. She's never had a sugar drink in her life. And he goes, and so when your muscles are stretching, you've got a little bit of junk in your muscles, and your muscles are only able to go so far. But my daughter, her muscles just keep on crushing because she doesn't have any poison like you do, Adam, in your body. And I was like, I can't stand you right now. Can't stand you. The Bible literally teaches us to honor the Lord with our body. And I love in 3 John, it won't be on the screen, but 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, he opens up the passage, John does, to the people that he's ministering to. And he sends them a letter and he says, dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. I pray that you have good health, bro. I pray that, he opens up his time, not, hey, I miss you. I'm believing for you to have miracles. He says, I pray that you have good health, because if you have good health, then you'll be able to do great things for God. And really, you and I, it's probably a season of our life now, no matter what your age is, what your dietary background is, it's a time for us in this time of miracles that we create a biosphere. We start creating, give God some space to do some supernatural things inside of us, these areas where we don't have faith in. And I get it. Some of you just don't have faith for your health. You've just been through so much. You just don't have faith. Well, I want to help you build your faith, and I want to teach you how to create an environment that God can do something miraculous in you, all right? So let me give you a couple thoughts, and they're biblically based, but let me give you a couple thoughts about creating an environment for your physical growth, for your physical health and well-being, just as we see, you know, even as we see what happened with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even as we see that the early church were consciously, you know, being subconscious about, you know, I need to stay in health so that I can do great things for God. So let me give you a couple thoughts. Here's the first thing I would teach you to do, and that is establish a dietary plan. Establish a dietary plan. That's for you. No shame involved, not what everybody else is doing, not what you saw on YouTube. What's for you? But establish something. Don't just go through life haphazardly. We all live fast-paced. And do you know that most families now eat more fast food than they eat at the table at home? And so that's affecting. You're talking about, I don't understand why my son's so ADD, and I'm telling you, I know why I was so ADD, because I ate Count Chocolate for breakfast every morning. Every morning. I mean, we were just pumping the sugar right on in. And you take my personality as a second grader, and you pump me full of sugar before I get to school, no wonder my teachers hated me. I got more licks, and in my day, they could actually take you in the office and paddle you. And they literally put my name on the paddle. There was Adam's paddle, and the paddle's for everybody else. Because I just couldn't. And I'm telling you why. It's because we grew up in an era where everything was microwavable. It was just happening in the 70s. The microwave, you know, explosion. And we microwaved everything. I had every bit of sugar. It was the way a single mom fed me. Was whatever there was that had cool advertisement on it, give that to that kid to keep him quiet. And I'm telling you, I was a sugar junkie. To this day, I love me some chocolate and really have to fight that. But create a dietary plan. Create for you and your family what works for you. Don't operate from fear. Operate from vision. Not fear that you're not good enough or you're going to die early. From vision, I want to be here. One of our pastors, Jack Clark, He's a phenomenal man of God, and he's got a real strong willpower when it comes to everything but sugar. And so last year, he looked up and he said, man, I'm coming up on 40. He's looking in the mirror. He doesn't like what he sees. His kids are really coming into their own. They're starting to play sports, and he's working really hard, and he's feeling exhausted and tired. And he said, the Lord spoke to him, if you'll work on your health, I'll do miracles in your midst. So he sat down with his family, and he came up with a dietary plan for himself. He said, now I get it. Maybe all of y'all don't want to participate in it. Mom was already like, yeah, we'll help you, Dad. He goes, but I need a little bit of motivation. I need to lose 40 pounds. 40 pounds is a lot of weight. And he said, now I want to do it in 4 months, which is like, you're going to go to a butcher? I mean, how are you going to get 40 pounds off in 4 months? Like, how is this going to happen? And he committed to it. But for him to create a dietary plan, what he needed was motivation. So he sat down and he looked at his kids. He goes, listen, if I do not hit the 40 pounds by this time, you guys can all, because they've been begging him, each kid, he has three kids, every one of them wanted their own pet. And he's like, I don't need pets at my house, PA. And he goes, so I looked him in the eye and said, if I don't reach it, every one of you get a pet. The pet of your choice, a dog, a cat, a squirrel, you know, a raccoon, whatever you want. You get your own pet. You get to pick it. And to his wife, he said, in that remodel that you want to do to revamp the whole backyard and a whole new thing with flowers and drip, you know, thing, waterfalls, he goes, and we'll spend that money and do that in the backyard if I don't reach the 40. And the kids and the mom were like, bet. The problem was every day we're like, Dad, do you want some sugar? And it's exactly what he needed because his style of who he is, he needed some kind of motivation. Can I tell you, he lost those 40 pounds with 2 weeks to spare on his little thing. But he set a plan. He set a plan. We would be at the office and all of us are going to run, go get Chick-fil-A, and he's sitting there eating a salad. Like, I hate all of y'all right now. I just hate all of you. But can I tell you, I watched his energy level go through the roof. Yes. I watched his joy come back. I watched him be able to spend time with his kids where in times past he was exhausted. He put a dietary plan together. And listen, get with a nutritionist, whatever you need to do. But again, I want to see you live long life. I want to see you have strength. I want to see you have health and vitality and not be suffering. I hate that some of you are having to take 5 and 6 and 7 medications just to get through the day. It is time for God to do a miracle in our physical body. Our spirit, soul, and body. Complete man. That's what we're after this year in 2024. And so I would just encourage you, whatever you need to do, make a dietary plan. My pop sitting on the front row. My pop has survived cancer twice. My pop in his earlier life, he worked in a chemical plant there in Louisiana along the Mississippi River. And what they did was, back in those days, we put lead in gas. Remember, anybody old enough to remember leaded gas? Unleaded, leaded. And Pop worked in one of the premier chemical plants in the United States that did that production. And so they were in chemicals all day, every day. So much so that they could not wear their clothes home. They would have to come to work, put on their uniforms, leave those uniforms, and those uniforms had to be clean every night and a new uniform put on the next day, because that's the kind of chemicals they worked in. Every one of the men that my dad worked with are dead now of cancer. He's the only one still alive. Two things that we would attribute that to. First off, we would attribute that to God's miraculous power. And the second thing we would attribute it to is Mimi's desire not to lose her husband. And so when Pop was going through cancer treatment, we did all the research we could do, and we found that there were some plant-based other things that we could get Pop taking. And Pop would tell you, it was a company called Manatech. It's based here in the Dallas area. And they use the aloe plant, and it's more plant-based supplements. And we put him on what the doctor's asking him to take, and all the chemo treatment and those kind of things. But we also put him on this plant-based protein thing. And we all, as a family, would say that was the difference maker to why we still have Pop in our lives. We changed his diet, and we put some things in there. And listen, Pop is a sweet man. He loves sweets. And I love each and every one of you, but the more you give him sweets, the more I'm going to have to stab you, okay? And I'm just kidding. I'm just being silly. But I want to keep him around for a long time. And he survived the cancer and the chemicals because we came up with a clean dietary plan for him to be better. And it literally started changing the poisons that were in his body from all the chemicals and the food that we ate from that area. And all of a sudden, he got here, he got healthier, and he's strong today. Finishing up his 70s, going to be moving into his 80s. I love you, Pop. You're the best. Here's the second thing I would teach you to do. And we're going to create an environment so you can have physical health and vitality. Here's the second thing I would teach you to do to create that environment, and that is commit to some form of physical activity. Some form of physical activity. And the Bible talks about how the prophet literally outran. He outran a chariot. I mean, the strength. When I think about Jesus, I want you to think about having been beat with a cat of nine tails. They shred your back with these shards of glass and these leather straps, and they rip your muscles out from the back of your neck, the bottom of your neck, all the way down to your buttocks. You're shredded, and then they make you climb the hill of Golgotha with a cross beam on your back. This concept, you know, that you see in some of the little Catholic pictures of Jesus being this little emaciated, effeminate looking, Jesus was a man's man. Jesus had strength. And he had strength. And not to mention that Jesus lived according to the Leviticus dietary rules that God had set in place for Israelites. And so he ate clean and he had strength. He walked everywhere. He didn't ride in a chariot. He had strength. He had muscle tone. He had physical activity happening every day in his life. And so whatever that physical activity for you should be, you know, whether it's, all of us are in different stages of life. If it's just walking a little bit every day. And when you go to Europe, you see how healthy these guys are. They smoke and cigarettes like crazy, but they're healthy. And the reason why is because they walk every day. They walk back and forth, and they when they eat bread, it doesn't have all the stuff in their bread that we have in our bread. And so they don't have all the junk in it. And so they're constantly moving, though. And I'm always around these Europeans when I'm over there. And I'm like, wow, how do you stay so skinny? And they're like, what do you mean? Because it's just a way of life for them. Some type of physical activity, even if you just get to stretching every day, even if you just get to, if you like weightlifting, I hate weightlifting. I've owned so many gym memberships that was a waste of money. And the reason why is because for me, when I go to a weight room, to a gym, and I see everybody on these. The picture that happens in my mind is, you know how the hamster wheel, and you got the little thing, and he's locked in the little glass box, and you got him, you know, your little pet hamster, and he's on that little wheel doing that. That's what it looks like to me in a gym when I walk in. So it's not motivating. Playing basketball, playing sports, that for me is motivating. So you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. You just need to have some type of physical activity. I promise you, if we'll create the environment, if we'll just do something, it'll give God the ability to do something supernatural and bring health and vitality into our physical body. Are you with me today? Say yes. Do you still love me? Say yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, for physical training is of some value. It's of some value. It's okay. It's of some value. And I always tell people, yeah, just some. I would rather be spiritual. Anyway, so let's move on. Here's the third thing that we can do to create an environment for physical health and vitality, and that is hold to a rest schedule. Hold to a rest schedule. I word this very specifically. They have brought back a lot of our sickness and disease to being not resting properly. Our body has the ability, when you put it in charge mode, to actually begin to heal itself. But if you're pushing it, and here's the problem with now a new younger generation, is that you plan on going to bed at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, but then you start scrolling, or you start flipping. And what happens is now you stayed up, because man, I did not know that that new show, Jack Reacher, is basically out right now. And I don't know, it's got too much violence, too much cussing, I don't know. But what happens is, I'm just gonna watch a little bit of it, and now you stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Or you were just gonna check real quick, and now you stayed up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Or you just gonna play, come on young adults, you're just gonna play a little bit of video games, and now it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you've gone through 5 Red Bulls, and you gotta be up at 7 a.m. to go to work. And so what you're doing to yourself is you're really, really hurting your body. And so that's why I teach you, hold to it. Create a rest schedule and hold to it. So no, we're going to bed. One of the things about having kids, young kids in the house, it forces you to do a little bit better on a sleep schedule, right? Because you put them down and then you go fall into bed and you're exhausted, that kind of thing. But what I would teach you to do is train your body. Your body's trained when to eat. Second service, if I get to going too long, people just start, because their body's like, I'm hungry. It's noontime. Preacher's still preaching. We got to go. Why? Because their body is now trained that at noon they eat. At noon. Or if you're Hispanic, too. I mean, we're going to eat right here this time. Right? Your body has become, you can get your body accustomed to sleep time. And then you know, they say, the medical field say that you need at least 7 hours. And I get that. You know, Donald Trump said he only needs 4. Okay. Sure. I don't know. That guy's taking a lot of naps during the day is what that guy's doing. I'm just saying. But you need to create on whatever that is for you. And they've linked power naps back to some real strength places. Whatever that is for you, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just trying to tell you, let's create an environment where God can do supernatural things inside of us, because I want you around for a long time. I want you in my life for a long time. I want to see your grandbabies. I want you to see your grandbabies. There's this video that came across. It went viral a couple months ago. And it starts with this older man, and he's out in his barn, and he's got these little things, and he's trying to pick them up, and he can't really pick them up. And every morning he goes out, there's snow out on the ground, he's trying to pick them up. And then he goes into his house, and he's trying to pick up this thing, and he gets it up to here, and it chronologically, it takes him about 6 months, and then all of a sudden he's picking up this weight, and now they show him with one of these cowbell weights, you know, the and it's like 20 pounds, and he's picking that up, and then he moves over to 40 pounds, and it's chronologically showing as he's getting better and better, and he gets to the place where he can put 40 pounds up, and 40 pounds, and the next scene is he comes over to his kid's house at Christmas, and he picks up his granddaughter, and is able to pick her up so she can put the star on the Christmas tree. The whole time, you did it, old man, you're the rock star. Have a vision for where you want to go. Stop shaming yourself for where you're not. Are you tracking? Have a vision. Like, I'd like to be able to do this. Some of my friends that have really gotten better with their health, they said, I set a vision, I'd like to run a marathon. I was like, that's demonic, but for you, praise the Lord. I don't even want to drive a marathon. You know, I mean, like, do you, boo. But whatever it is, set a vision for yourself and say, Lord, I want to create then the biosphere. I want to create the environment to where you can bring life inside of my physical being. I want to have health. I want to be able to do this for you, Lord, and for the kingdom. And I want to be able to be strong. I don't want to be weak. And I don't want to feel that I'm lazy just simply because I can't get up off the bed on Saturday mornings because I'm just wearing myself out. So create and hold to a good rest schedule. Is that good? Say yes. Psalms 23 in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does he do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Look how the Living translates it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He wants me to rest. And picture the rest that the New Living translates it. In the meadow grass and leads me beside it. He sits me by those little streams and rest comes on me. Some of you guys got your little, you know, your little night music and your little, you know, and you got the little blah, 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 and you just, or the raindrops or whatever. He leads me beside these still waters and he gives me new strength. Everybody say new strength. Say it over yourself, new strength. Say it again, new strength. Lord gives you new strength. Here's the fourth thing I would teach you to do, to create a biosphere, create an environment so the Lord can do miracles in your physical body and in your health, and that would be empower accountability. Empower accountability. Do you know why I still got pop? Because of Mimi. Because he had accountability. Because she'd walk in, what are you putting in your mouth? Give me that. Boy, what's wrong with you? I need you. You ain't dying on me early. You're not eating that mess. He had accountability. He's like, okay, baby. And he'd come over to my house. Y'all got any of them? No, Mimi ain't shooting me. No, sir. We're all scared of Mimi. So, accountability. And some of you know about that. Some of you know what it is to have an accountability partner in some areas. And it's good for you. And what I would encourage you to do is empower accountability. In other words, don't just expect someone to call you out. Give them the power to do it. Hey, listen, you're my friend, you're my spouse, you're my kids, you're my dad. I want you to watch. Listen, young people, you can clear up that acne just by changing your diet. I'm just telling you. But what we have to do is empower accountability and say, listen, I give you permission to check me, to ask me how I'm doing. Because if you don't give me permission, even as your pastor, if you don't give me a permission to be your pastor, I can't rebuke you and correct you. I can't make you better and stronger. If you won't give Hill City pastors and leadership permission to speak into your life and to help you grow, then what we have is nothing more than a presentation on Sundays, and we hope you like it. That's not changing anything. My pastor has permission to spank the snot out of me. My wife has permission to call my pastor. Our lead team has permission to speak into the pastors on staff have permission to speak into me. I don't want just accountability from here. I want accountability here, and I want accountability from here. And so you got to empower accountability. And some of you have the ability to be really healthy, but you've got to go ahead and empower someone. One of the ladies who serves in our live production ministry, her name is Tracy Dalton. Tracy's actually out of town on a mission trip today, her and her husband. But Tracy wrote me her testimony about something that she had been going through, and it just fits perfectly. She gave it to me last week. She says, I've always been up and down with my fitness. The entire time I was in the Army, I always struggled to pass my fitness tests, and if I did, it was only barely. Last year, I got serious about my fitness and my health, working toward my goal of chaplaincy, because to be a chaplain, I had to pass the fitness test. And I wanted to be an example to those that I would be ministering to as an Army chaplain. She said, so I started working out on my own. But about 6 months in, I signed up with a personal trainer for the first time because I didn't have the ability in and of myself to make it happen. He has me on a training plan that gains strength and endurance. I have lost 20 pounds, but more importantly, I have gained confidence in myself, my body, and my strength. And now I myself not only am able to pass the health requirement to be a chaplaincy, but I'm now a certified personal trainer, and I have started training new clients, starting them on a path towards better health. Can we give Tracy a hand? I wish she was here to just stand up and testify to you. Create that. Here's the last and final piece. Come on, write this one down. Real easy. We're trying to create an environment so God can do something supernatural, and that is number five, ask for miracles. I keep teaching you this over and over, Sunday after Sunday, because I believe 2024 is a year of miracles. But I also believe you have not because you ask not. Some of you have health issues that you need a miracle in. And my encouragement to you is, don't just hope it happens. Ask for it. Lord, I need you to heal me. I need you to heal me of this Crohn's disease. Lord, I'm asking you to heal me. Lord, I'm believing that you will. Psalms 103, this should be, if you need a healing in your physical body, this should be your core verse. Psalms 103, verse 2, you should memorize it. You should write it down. You should have it on your phone. You should be able to pull it up at any moment. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So early in the morning when I'm praising God, Lord, I praise you. And I praise you for the benefits of being your son, your daughter. And you said in your own word, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me of this diabetes. Lord, I don't want to live with it. I don't want to be overtaken by it. I don't want my life cut short by it. Lord, I'm asking you to heal me of this lower back injury. Lord, I'm asking you to do a miracle in this knee. Lord, I'm asking you to do a miracle in my appetite. Lord, I need you to heal me because I want to serve you to the best of my ability. Are you with me today? Say yes. There are so many of us who've received healing in this congregation. In fact, let's just show of hands. If God's ever healed you of something, would you just show your hand so you can testify to everybody else? He's not healed me once, he's healed me multiple times. I constantly cry out for healing because I'm just smart enough to know that I can't get it done myself. So again, what are we talking about? We're talking about creating an environment. We're not talking about you being better or being gooder. We're not talking about you having willpower to overcome all your little problems in and of yourself. We need God to bring to life that which is not alive inside of us. And in our body, some of us have strongholds in our mind. We have strongholds in our mind about our diet, about working out. And the reason why is because we don't have faith in that, because it's something that we tried that didn't work, something that that was spoken over us. You were called the fat kid in school, and so your whole life, you're now in the back of your mind, I'm the fat person, or you tried to do this one workout routine. It never fit you in the beginning. That's why I told you, it's not about what workout routine, just get some physical activity. And what we do is we start creating an environment, and then God starts doing the miracle in it. Just give God something to work with. Give God something. Start a little dietary plan. Start a little physical activity piece where you start walking every night after dinner, or where you just kind of get out once you put the kids to sleep and you just kind of get in the living room, you start doing some stretches, where you just kind of maybe even doing some calisthenics, the old school push-ups and sit-ups, and you just start working something to where you're at. And the goal is not to all of a sudden be Arnold Schwarzenegger. The goal is to get you just to the next step so you can be a little stronger than you were last year. So that you can be a little healthier than you were the last 2 years. So that you can start having a little bit stronger sleep and start waking up refreshed and knock out your day well. Start asking God, say, Lord, I need a miracle. And then start asking the Lord, say, Lord, who can I ask to keep me accountable? Who will hold me? Who do I trust? Who do I know that'll love me, that'll pray for me as I'm going through this? And friend, can I tell you something? Each and every one of us have a body that is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we should honor him with the way we treat his temple. If you've ever rolled up to a church that was all beat down and nasty and not taken care of, the shame of not taking care of the building. You are the building. You are what the Spirit of the Lord lives in, giving the best you can give him. And I get it. Some of us have things in our family heritage that cause us to have, certain bends and tendencies towards stuff. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. And I'm not under any curse from my family line. That curse has been broken on that cross, and that resurrection gave me the ability to break every curse. You do not have to live with diabetes because dad had diabetes and grandpa had diabetes. God can heal you. He can heal us. We can walk in physical health and vitality. And that's coming from a Cajun who needs to hear this message more than you do. Are you with me today? Say yes.